Well, as we go to air tonight, as we've been telling you, the tax office has got a major IT problem on its hands that's seen its portals, which is where people go in and pay their taxes or get information, and also its websites, having been down for the past day. Now, last night, as we were on air, we told you that the tax office was confident it would be able to work through the night and get its systems back up and running. It hasn't happened. So even as we go to air tonight, the tax office has got some significant problems. It's also indicated late today that it's been working with its partners at HPE, that's Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, to secure and restore IT services. Now, right from the get-go, the ATO has indicated that there has been no loss of personal data. But there have been reports today talking about the loss of 1 petabyte, which is absolutely massive, of data, plus also the downing of its online services. Now, this has caused a lot of people on Twitter to be asking, well, where do I stand right now? How do I pay my taxes? What do I do? Well, the tax office is right now saying, well, look, sit tight. We're going to try and get this all right. But in the meantime, Hewlett-Packard Enterprises and the tax office have indicated that this type of loss, this type of outage, is the very first time that such a system has had this situation anywhere in the world. That's why they're working so hard to try and work it out. In the meantime, there's been another significant taxation report into the tax office, and that's come from the Inspector General of Taxation, Ali Neruzzi. Now, in this particular case, the Inspector General of Tax says the Australian Tax Office should say sorry if and when it makes errors. But the question is whether it should go further and have a taxpayer bill of rights like Canada and the United States do. The Inspector General of Taxation, Ali Neruzzi, is on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Ali.
Pleasure.
Just first up, can we go to the outage of the tax office's website and its systems? As the Inspector General of Taxation, do you have much say or much influence over any of these things?
I mean, right now, the most important thing is that we allow them some time to sort out the problem with their commercial partners. As we understand it, the system itself, obviously, there was a hardware storage failure, and their backup system failed to kick in. So they are now looking at some alternative recovery procedures, and we just need to really, right now, the best thing we can do is just to, you know, calm down, let them sort out the problems. Hopefully they'll sort it out sooner rather than later. And then we can think about what's going on. And I think the ATO itself will probably do a thorough search as to what were the underlying issues, because obviously these sorts of outages are quite undesirable and inconvenience people and obviously cause concerns. And as you know, we run a complaint service, so whenever there is issues like this, there is no search of complaints to my office. But we've been also communicating similar messages to those that have contacted us.
Have you had many people contact you in regards to this outage?
Yes, we have had we have had a number of complaints, and right now all we can tell them is to sit tight, let the ATO work through us. Now, I think it's probably wise not to cause them any extra angst at the moment. That is the ATO, and let them just get on with the job of fixing the problem.
In terms of, apart from the complaints area, you have an overview of trying to improve the administration of the tax office. Now, the website right now is the major interface between taxpayers and the Australian Tax Office. Is that something that clearly, once this is all back up and running, that you would seek to make inquiries on behalf of taxpayers to figure out what has happened, and did it not be repeated in the future?
Look, I suspect it will depend on how long this outage will last, to what extent people are affected, what kind of loss or detriment may have been caused. I think it's too early to say whether an inquiry is required. We really need to just wait and see. I think it's too early to be speculating whether that's going to be necessary. But obviously, it is of concern. We do need to keep our eye on it. But we do also need to allow the tax office to just concentrate on getting things back on track right now.
Okay, can we go then to the report that you have put out today in regards to recommendations about the Australian Tax Office and the way in which it deals with taxpayers, in particular where there have been any breaches, any mistakes made by the Australian Tax Office, and then subsequently how it reports that information. You say that Australia does not need a taxpayer bill of rights such as the United States has got, and I'll just take people through 10 points that that makes. One, you've got the right to be informed. Two, the right to quality service. Three, the right to pay no more than the correct amount of tax. Four, the right to challenge the IRS, in that case the tax officer's position, to be heard. Five, the right to appeal an IRS decision in an independent forum. Six, the right to finality. Seven, the right to privacy. Eight, the right to confidentiality. Nine, the right to retain representation. And 10, the right to a fair and just tax system. All of those things to me seem to be the hallmarks of what I would say is a fair and equitable tax system. Why would a taxpayer bill of rights, why is it not necessary here in Australia?
Well, I mean, in the US and Canada, it is called the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. But we also in this country have what's called the Taxpayer's Charter. The Taxpayer Charter is a document of the ATO that sets out taxpayers' rights and obligations. Now, some of those rights, just like the Bill of Rights in the UK, are backed up by legislative means, and there are enforceable remedies already. So people have a right to object or appeal an ATO's decision. They do have the right to review. So many of those rights they talk about under the Bill of Rights in the US do indeed exist under the Taxpayer Charter. Also, although it's called the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, they do not have significantly more enforceable remedies than we do. By enforceable remedies, what I mean is that if the ATO breaches, you know, one of these standards or so-called Bill of Rights, then to what extent does a taxpayer have the right to seek enforcement, in other words, head to court and seek some kind of remedy? Now, we are not that far away from US or Canada. US has got a few more civil remedies, but they have not been significantly used by taxpayers. The issue here, Ross, is that at the end of the day, the people that perhaps need some level of protection are least likely to be able to afford to drag all of this through the court system. There is significant costs involved, time and effort in taking legal action. And frankly, if they had the money to do that, they would probably rather take the underlying issue to court as opposed to a breach of a certain standard or charter. So what I have said is that perhaps what we should look at right now is that the ATO should report on its performance against the charter principles on an annual basis. So to what extent it has, you know, breached any of those principles, which are very much like the Taxpayer Bill of Rights in the US and Canada, and for the public to be aware of that. Now, public reporting is a very useful tool. It's not that different, for example, to my relationship with the tax office. I can't tell the tax office what to do, and they can't tell me what to do. But because my reports are public, there is pressure on me to put forward sensible recommendations, and likewise, there is pressure on the tax office to accept those recommendations if indeed they are sensible or they should really show good reason for not agreeing to them. In the same way, public reporting of ATO's breaches against the charter are likely to affect behavior. And what I have said is once the ATO has implemented these properly, I will keep a watching brief as to whether anything else needs to be done. Do we need to relook at more enforceable remedies or not?
The other aspect of this, Ali, is also that if the tax office does make a mistake, and you point out about the imbalance of power between an individual taxpayer, a small business, a medium-sized business, and the tax office in terms of their relative size. But there's also the situation that there's got to be not only a cost-effective remedy, but there's also got to be reparation if mistakes have been made by the tax office, and they've got to be well understood and spelled out.
Yeah. Well, there are two things. I mean, in addition, I think you're making reference to compensation, but also what avenues do the taxpayer have other than the court system? First of all, they can raise the issue with my office. As of 1 May of 2015, we have had the ability to investigate taxpayer complaints. When we investigate things independently, we then make a determination, which is whilst it's not binding on the tax office, it is persuasive. So they have us to come to, well, we can try to seek some resolution for them. Now, in the event that the ATO has made a mistake and a loss or a detriment has been suffered by a taxpayer, there are a number of compensation schemes, but the main one is for defective tax administration. And again, in this report, I have made a number of recommendations in that regard. One of them, for example, is that, the taxpayer can, if they have new grounds or new information, can seek a review of the ATO decision about a compensation payment, and that they should be made aware that they can actually seek that review. We have looked at that issue, and this compensation scheme is not just limited to the tax office, but indeed it stretches across all public service departments.
I'll tell you what, great to have you on the program as always. Ellen Naruzzi is the Inspector General of Taxation. The most important thing tonight is to get that tax office system back up and running after this major outage that's had it out for more than 24 hours now. And even as we're going to air, no real sign that it's going to get back up and running anytime soon. In the meantime, Ali, we always appreciate your time here on Money News.
Pleasure. Thank you.